I want to get into the word of the Lord this morning, and we're going to continue where we kind of dropped off last week, and we're talking about increasing our faith. And last week, we, under the umbrella of the title Increasing Our Faith, we talked about Faith 101, or what I titled Faith 101. This week, under the Increasing Our Faith, I'm going to kind of title my message this morning, How God Tests Our Faith. How God Tests Our Faith. And if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 17. We'll read our text, the same text that we read last week. And we enlarged upon some of it. This week, we're going to get a little further into it. But Luke chapter 17, verse number 5. Luke chapter 17, verse number 5. The apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come in from the field, Go and sit down to eat? And will not rather say to him, Make ready wherewith I may eat, and gird yourself, and serve me until I have finished eating, and then afterward you shall drink and eat. Does he thank the servant because he did the things which were commanded him? And he says, I think not. Likewise, so ye, when ye shall have done all of the things that are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants, and we have done only that which was our duty. Now stop reading right there this morning and ask that you bow your heads and let us pray for the Lord's anointing in ministering his word. Heavenly Father, it is a delight to be able to be in the house of God. It is a delight to be able to gather here in this place with these your people. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised. And we come to the reading now of the Word of God. In my own ability, Lord, I am completely inadequate. And I would pray this morning that you would touch me with the anointing of your Holy Spirit and that you would give me a divine capability to expound your word. I pray that you will put your thoughts in my mind, your word in my mouth, and let it fall upon hearts that are touched of God to hear and to receive. Bless us this morning, Lord, as we have endeavored to bless you. Let your name be glorified and let your people be edified. And for all of these things, I will forever be grateful. And I ask them in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So if you will recall last week when we left off with the understanding that God has given to each of us, the scripture says, the measure of faith. We determined by the scripture that when we came to Christ, when we accepted Christ and we repented of our sin, it was at that moment that God imparted a gift of faith into our hearts. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 and verse number 9 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So we determined last week that the moment that we came to the Lord, God imparted a seed of faith into our hearts. He gave us a gift of faith. We also learned in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3 that God has already dealt to every man a measure or the measure, the King James says, the measure of faith. Meaning that we have all received the same standard unit or the same measure of faith. We have all been given equal faith. God does not give us, when we come to him, God does not give us varying degrees of faith. He does not give to one a large amount of faith and to another just, you know, a thumbnail hanging on kind of faith. No, God gives us, he's no respecter of persons. He gives us all the measure of faith. And we learn that that seed or that measure of faith has great potential. Because Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, and that mustard seed is so small, and yet it has such great potential. Amen. So God gives us all the seed or the measure of faith. God gives us all that seed or that seed-sized faith, if you will. But he gives us all the same unit, the same standard measure, the same faith. Now it is up to us to do something with that seed. Because inside of that seed, there is great potential. There is potential to do great things in your life. But the seed has got to be planted in the right kind of soil. The seed has got to be fed the right kind of nutrients. The seed has got to be watered, and it has to be nurtured, and it has to be cared for. And when the seed is cared for, and when the seed receives the things that it needs, what happens to it? It explodes with growth. It grows. That's what God wants to do with our faith. If our faith is ever going to grow, then we must create the right kind of atmosphere for our faith to grow in. We must feed it the right kind of nutrients. What kind of nutrients, Pastor? Nutrients like the Word of God. Amen. Like the Spirit of the living God. Giving it the right moisture and the right setting for it to grow. But we are responsible to put that seed in the right soil and then give it the right kind of nutrients and then watch it begin to grow. If we want our faith to grow, then we must start where we are with what we have or the measure that we have been given and then start climbing from there. Can you say amen? Now, how many of you know no one ever climbs a ladder starting at the top rung, right? You start at the bottom. You start at the bottom rung. No one climbs the ladder beginning at the top. And sometimes that's what defeats some well-meaning saints of God. They try to believe beyond their level of faith. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? What I'm saying this morning is, and let me put it in natural terms, if I never lifted weights, if I never went to the gym, if I never worked out, and then decided one day that I'm going to go to the gym and endeavor to, you know, lift 400 pounds, there is a very good possibility that I would be extremely disappointed. Hello? And the same thing is true with our faith. If we never exercise our faith, if we never work our faith out, and then something comes along that just blows us over, and it's much larger than we are, and we try to exercise our faith to believe God, often we are disappointed because our level of faith is not at the place where we could receive from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we must exercise our faith. How do we increase our faith? Well, let me first of all tell you this morning how we do not increase our faith. You cannot sit on your blessed assurance and sing, "I shall not be moved," and increase your faith. You cannot come to church just one day a week and reject or neglect the Word of God the rest of the days of the week and expect your faith to grow. Hello? Somebody goes, "You know, I go to church all the time. I'm faithful to the Lord. I'm faithful to the church." But let me just tell you, if you fed your natural body the way we often feed our spiritual body, we would be a whole lot lighter than what we are. Because oftentimes feed our spirit man a little cold snack on the weekend, and then we don't feed him nothing else the rest of the week. Well, I promise you, if that's the case, you're not going to grow in your faith. You got to go to the gym. You got to feed it the right kind of stuff. And you got to exercise it. But when you do, look out, devil. Amen. When you feed it the right kind of stuff, and you nurture your faith and you exercise your faith, it begins to grow just like our muscles grow when we give it strength resistance training. Whenever whenever you are working out, you are, it's, somebody goes, I love to work out. I don't know what you're talking about. I love the results of working out. But something happens as you work out. You kind of start getting accustomed to it. And you kind of start enjoying it. And you kind of start relishing and looking forward to it. When you work out, I find it odd that this place used to be a gym. But when you begin to work out your muscles and you begin to bring strength resistance into your training, and you begin to work, your muscles begin to grow and they begin to grow stronger and you lift more and it's easier for you. That's the way faith is. The more that you work out your faith and the more that you feed your faith the right nutrients and the right kind of things, and the more that you exercise your faith, the easier that it becomes to believe God when you face an impossibility in your life. We will never build our faith by hearing the word of God and then never applying it to our lives. I thought I'd get a really good shout on that one. Thank you. We will never build our faith by hearing the truth and refusing to apply it. On the way out the door, when you look up over the door, it says, truth is of no value unless practiced. I had my beautiful daughter-in-law put that in the week we moved in here. Amen, because it is so true. Truth will do you no good. No good at all unless you apply it. James chapter 1, 22 said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen. Deceiving your own self. If we are just a hearer of the word and we do not practice the word or we do not apply the word, it does us absolutely no good. None. So how can we build our faith? Do we take a vitamin for it? No. Is there a therapy class? Some of us may need therapy, but that won't do it. Is there a seminar? Pastor Gary, can you lay hands on me this morning and impart faith unto me? No, I can't. I can't impart anything unto you. But how do we build our faith? I submit to you this morning that there are two ways that our faith is increased. The first way that our faith is increased has to do with what we do. And I'm going to be talking more about that next week, of what we can do, what we can do to build our faith. But the second way that our faith is increased, it's not what we do, but it is what God does. And I confess to you this morning that you may have come very excited to hear the continuation of this service, but you're probably not going to be very excited about some of the things that God does to increase our faith. Hello? Are you ready for it? The first thing that God does is God builds our faith by testing it. How many of you like a test? I got some going, yeah, bring it on. Not me. I don't like the pressure. Hello? And the first thing that God does is he begins to test our faith. He builds our faith by putting it to the test. It's one thing for us to say that we have faith, amen, but when the rubber really meets the road, are we really walking by faith? Because listen, it's one thing to say that we have faith when everything is running smoothly. It's one thing to have faith when all of the bills are paid and you are in health and everything is going great and the roses are coming up, the birds are singing, and the sun is shining and everything is wonderful in your life. Easy to have faith. No problem. Thank God. Praise the Lord. But it's a whole nother ball game. It's a whole nother ball game to have faith when the roses refuse to bloom and the sun ain't shining and everything that can go wrong seems like it is going wrong. The cat left home and the dog is seriously thinking about it and everything is falling apart. And some of you have been there. I've been there too. But let me just tell you something this morning. Untested faith is useless. I want to have the kind of faith that's been tried in the fire. I want to have the kind of faith, amen, that's been put to the test. I want to have the kind of faith that when trouble comes, I can look hell right in the eye and tell the devil, I'm not worried about it because I know that my God is on my side. Faith needs to be stretched. It needs to be exercised. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1, verse number 3. James chapter 1, verse number 3. This is what the Bible says about God and our faith. James chapter 1, verse number 3. Verse number 4. It says, knowing this, and I'm reading the King James. I'm going to read the God's Word version in just a moment. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, or the testing of your faith, works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What do tests and trials do? They help perfect our faith. They help to perfect our faith. James chapter 1 verse 3 and 4 in the God's Word says, you know that such testing of your faith produces endurance. Endure until your testing is over, and then you will be mature and complete, and you won't need anything. Let me just tell you something this morning. We need to stop looking at our trials and our hardships as an obstacle or a setback. And we need to start looking at our trials and our obstacles and the hard places that we encounter in our life. We need to begin to look at them as a springboard for God to build our faith from faith to faith and from glory to glory and from one level to another level. Let me just tell you, when God puts a test in front of you and God puts a trial in front of your face, it is not so you will fail. It's so that you can overcome. And when you overcome, your faith grows stronger. James is saying that the purpose and the reason for our tests is for our faith to grow and mature and for us to be made complete in Him. Stop looking this morning at your hardships and your trials as an inconvenience and a setback, and start looking at them as an opportunity for God to do something wonderful in your life. Start looking at them as an opportunity for God to show you, amen, just exactly what kind of a God that He is. Start looking at your trials and your hardships in a whole new light. And when you begin to look at them as an opportunity for God to do something good, faith will begin to rise in your spirit, and faith will give you a different attitude how you face hardships and trials. Job says the same thing. I love this verse. Job says the same thing. Job chapter 7, verse number 17. This may blow your mind, but it's absolutely right out of the Word of God. And this is the King James Version. Job said, what is man? What, he's in awe. I'll tell you the reason he is in awe. He's in awe that God takes such interest in us. He says, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him?" And what that means is, what is man that you should make so much of him? What is man that you would take such an interest in him? And then he goes on to say, "And that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him." That's a picture of how God feels toward us. God is so interested in us that he makes much about us. And he sets his heart upon us. And Job goes on to say, "What is man that you should magnify him, and that thou would set thine heart upon him, and that you should visit him every morning and try him every moment?" Amen. That you would test him at every moment. Now understand what that scripture is saying. It's huge. It's saying that every moment of every day, God is got his heart set upon you, and he is testing you, and he is trying your faith. He wants to find out what's in your heart. Your faith will reveal what's in your heart. Can you say amen? Every moment of every day, our faith is being tested. I submit to you, and some of you will be able to say amen real loud on this. I submit to you that all last week, your faith was being tried. And I would further submit that all next week, if the Lord tarries, your faith and my faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tested. Why? Because God tests us every day. He doesn't tempt us with sin. Make sure you understand, that's not what I'm saying. God does not tempt us. God tests us. God tries us. God wants to see what's inside of our heart. He wants us to reveal to him. Every day we have faith opportunity or faith building opportunities. And every day sometimes we fail that same old test. Every day we are faced with faith building opportunities. And sometimes the problem is that we just don't even realize it. So God wants to test our faith. God tests and tries our faith. And I want you to consider with me this morning four ways in how he does that, or how he approaches that. Number one, God tests our faith through difficulties. God tests our faith through difficulties. Every trial and problem, and the pressures of life and the circumstances of life and the stress of life, of everyday life, God is testing our faith by presenting us with impossibilities and obstacles that are beyond our control. How many of you like to be in control? Now, I've been a Christian for a very long time. I've been, you know, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and the hardest lesson that I ever had to learn was quit trying to be in control. Quit trying to be in control. So God always sets up circumstances, obstacles, situations, things that are out of our control. And he does that so that we will have to trust him. So that we will have to place our faith in him. He presents us with obstacles that are beyond our ability and beyond our control. And it is often difficult for us to be out of control. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. And I'm going to ask you to turn there so we can read it together. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. I'm reading the God's Word translation, and this is what it says. "We have been born into a new life, which has an inheritance that cannot be destroyed or corrupted or cannot fade away. That inheritance is kept in heaven for us, since you are guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the end time. You are extremely happy about those things. Aren't you happy that you have a place in heaven this morning? That we have a salvation? He says, you're extremely happy about these things, even though, don't forget the even though you have to suffer different kinds of trouble for a while now. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith as fire tests genuine gold. Your faith is more precious than gold. And passing the test gives glory or brings glory and praise and honor unto God. Peter is saying that our trials and our problems and our difficulties that we face come into our lives to test our faith so that we will give praise and glory unto God. Now, understand this morning that I am not saying that God plans all of the bad things that happen in our life. He doesn't have to. How many of you know we live in a fallen world and much of the junk that we go through, we bring on ourselves, right? But what I am saying this morning is that God uses those things that come into our life to build our faith so that we will trust Him. He uses those obstacles and those hardships as a jeweler would under fire or under gold. He would build a fire to purify the gold. How many of you know how they process gold? They build a fire under it and they begin to heat the fire up. And then when the impurities start to come to the top, they skim off the impurities, the brass and the zinc and all of the other metals that are not pred. They pull all of that off. And it's 10 karat gold. They heat the fire up a little hotter and the more impurities start coming to the top and they rake that off and it becomes 18, 14, 18, 24 karat gold, all because the furnace gets heated up a little bit hotter. That's how God uses the affliction or the furnace of affliction in our life. I once heard an old silversmith who was asked, how do you know when all of the impurities are burned away? And his answer was, when I see my reflection in the gold. Amen. Well, let me just tell you this morning, when God can look down and see His reflection in our life, amen, He knows He's getting somewhere. Can you say amen? Amen. The furnace of affliction this morning, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 25, God said, I will turn my hand upon you and I will purely purge away your dross and I will take away all of your impurities. What God was saying was, sometimes I'm going to send you through the fire so that I can purify your life and so that you'll resonate with faith and trust in me. Job understood that. When Job was being tested in Job chapter 23 in verse number 10, he said, I don't know where God is, but He knows the way that I take. And when I have been tried, when He has tried me, I will come forth as pure gold. What I'm saying this morning is that often God uses our hardships, our trials, our misfortunes, our circumstances as a way or an opportunity for us to trust in Him. And when we trust in Him, at some point He brings us on the other side of that hardship and our faith is increased. Our faith is made stronger. The second test, or the second way that God tests our faith, is through obedience. Through obedience. God tests our faith through our obedience. Our text offers an interesting situation. The disciples come to Jesus and they pray and they said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus goes off talking about replanting trees and mustard seed. And then He starts talking about servants plowing and feeding cattle. And it almost makes you wonder, did He understand their question? But if you understand what Jesus was saying, you realize right off that he understood their question. Look at the seventh verse down to the tenth verse. Jesus said, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go sit down, take it easy, eat, drink. Or will you not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may eat and serve me till I have eaten, and afterward you can drink and you can eat. Does the master thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And he says, I think not, absolutely not. So likewise, when ye shall have done all of those things which were commanded, you say we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty. We have only been obedient to what the master has required. What is the bottom line of that story? The bottom line to that story is that the servant was simply doing the things that he was commanded to do. He was simply doing the things that he had been asked to do or that were required of him. Jesus wasn't saying, he was saying in essence that if you want your faith to grow, if you want your faith to be enlarged, if you want your faith to increase, then you must be obedient and do what is expected of you. You must be obedient and do what you know is the right thing to do. How many of you know this morning that there are about 1,050 commandments in the New Testament, and not all of them are very easy? Right? Let me just give you an example of some of them. Jesus said, pray for your enemy and those that despitefully use you. Do anybody find that hard to do? Jesus also said, forgive those who trespass against you. My human nature doesn't want to do that. My human nature says, you trespass against me and I will trespass right back on you, baby. Right? Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do when you don't even like them. Why does he do that? Listen, here are a couple of more. Jesus said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And you're left standing there muttering under your breath, what are you talking about? How in the world am I going to give thanks for this mess? How about rejoice always? And again, I say rejoice. Do you always feel like rejoicing? Nope. Me neither. Molly Sunshine over there does. Hello? Amen. No, sometimes his commandments seem unreasonable. Sometimes his instructions seem to be inconvenient. But what we need to realize is those things that he asks us to do, we must do them by faith. We must exercise our faith in order to do them. What I'm saying is that God often asks us to do what seems to be impossible in the natural realm so that we will have to rely upon our faith in order to be able to do them. And when we do, when we obey, his faith or his that increase begins to happen in our spirit and down in our heart. We see those kind of instructions in the Word of God, and when we are faced with the decision to do what God said or what we think is right in our own eyes, and we choose to do what God said, that is a step of faith. That is an exercise of our faith. We are in essence saying, who am I going to trust more? Am I going to believe what God says that I'm to do? Or am I going to believe what I think is the right thing to do? Am I going to believe God and trust God and do what God says? Or am I going to trust my own opinion? But let me just tell you, every time we face a test like that and we choose to do what God says for us to do, it is an act of obedience. And right there in that act of obedience, God will meet us and our faith will increase. Let me give you a couple of examples. You remember Abraham? At 75 years old, Abraham has a visit from God. And God has a word for Abraham. You will find it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. God says, get up, get out of your country, get away from your kindred into a land that I will show you. Excuse me? Get up, he's 75 years old. Get up, get out of your country, get away from your kindred, and go to a land that I will show you. Don't you know there had to have been a conversation about that? Abraham said, where am I going? God said, I'll show you. How am I going to get there? I'll show you that too. How will I know when I got there? I'll tell you when you get there. Now, the Bible doesn't say that conversation actually happened, but I have to believe that Abraham was both flesh and had a natural side of him. And when God said, get up, get out of your country, get away from your kin, no doubt Abraham said, hey, wait a minute. I'm almost retired. Got a pension coming in. Hello? But you know what Abraham did? He obeyed God. And the Bible said that God counted it to righteousness for him. And he became the father of us all, the father of faith. How about a guy named Noah? It had never rained upon the face of the earth. And God says to Noah, I want you to build an ark in the middle of the desert. Why? It's going to rain. What's that? It had never rained. God said, it's going to rain. I'm going to cause a flood. And Noah believed God. And he was obedient. And in his obedience, the Bible said that he saved his entire household. I'm here to tell you this morning, God tests our faith by and through our obedience. And if we want to learn to live by faith, then we have to learn to obey God. I got an amen corner right over here. I love it. I love it. We have to learn to obey God. It doesn't make sense. It don't have to make sense. Often what God tells us to do doesn't make sense. Hello? It's not about making sense. It's not about whether it seems to be good logic. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about obedience. It's about trusting God. It's about doing what God has commanded us to do. And when we do that, our faith begins to grow. Let me ask you this morning, amen, how quickly do we do what God asks us to do? Do we obey or do we just obey when it is convenient? I might art a duck when I say that. Do we obey or do we obey when it is convenient? God's not looking for just a convenient obeying. He's looking for complete submission to his will. The third area that God tests us in, how God tests our faith, the third test is with money. Say, oh my God, he is going to take an offering. I'm not. We already did that. But I want you to understand this morning that God will test us with our money. Money is one of the greatest tests of faith in our life. There are a few people who understand how God uses our material possessions as a test of character and a test of our faith. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture. Look in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 11 and verse 13. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, if you've been at Elevation Worship Center very long, you don't know, you'll know that I don't preach about money. Very seldom do I preach about money. But I'm going to tell you a truth this morning. God expects for us to be faithful with our money. And I'm going to show you that in the scripture right here. Luke chapter 16, verse number 11 and verse number 13. Jesus said, Therefore, and I'm reading the God's Word translation, if you can't be trusted with wealth that is often used dishonestly, who will trust you with wealth that is real? Now understand that he's talking about this individual being unfaithful with money and how someone could trust him with real spiritual wealth, spiritual riches. He says, if you can't be trusted with wealth that is often used dishonestly, who will trust you with the wealth that is real? If you can't be trusted, verse number 20, if you can't be trusted with someone else's wealth, who will give you your own? A servant cannot serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second master, and he will be devoted to the first master and despise the second master. And get the words right here. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. Basically, what Jesus is saying is, if you haven't been trustworthy handling worldly wealth, money, dollars and cents, who will trust you with true riches? That's the spiritual wealth or faith that I'm talking about, that he's talking about. Jesus is saying how you handle your money will have a direct correlation with your spiritual life. How you handle your finances will have a direct correlation with your spiritual life. There is a direct connection. In fact, he says, if I'm not faithful handling material wealth, he bet he will not trust me with spiritual wealth. And if I am not faithful with my possessions, he will not trust me with spiritual power. Well, God wants to bless you with spiritual power, and God wants to bless you with faith, and God wants to bless you even with material things. But God cannot bless us until we become faithful with what God has already asked of us. Every time that we determine to give, every time, I bet the devil jumps up on your shoulder and gives you 10,000 reasons why you shouldn't and why you can't. Hello? Does that happen? Every time. He'll give you reasons, but let me just tell you, when you exercise your faith, and it is an exercise of your faith to give, you want your faith to grow, exercise it, obey God and give. Give, because God has a plan. God wants you to give so that you can receive. If you open your heart and open your mind and open your will to the Spirit of God and obey God and allow God to give you, amen, that step of faith to give so that he can open the windows of heaven and bless you. The truth is, the scripture tells us that God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be blessed materially, spiritually, emotionally, in every area of our life. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. Please turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. Listen to what God says about money, about finances, about giving. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, he says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Are you reaping sparingly? Maybe you need to check out your giving. Maybe you're sowing giving or sparingly. Amen. He says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Here's what he says about giving. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly,
Not grudgingly. If you can't give to the Lord with a smile on your face and joy in your heart, don't give at all. It'll do you no good. Don't give grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. And then listen what he says about giving cheerfully and giving unto the Lord with joy in your heart. He says, and God, not me, not some other source, but God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you have always, I love that, always having all sufficiency in all things. Does that sound poverty to you? Absolutely not. He wants you to always, not some of the time, always have all sufficiency in all things so that we can abound unto every good work. And if you'll just obey God, God will give you a little more and increase what you give so that you can abound to do even more. As it is written, he goes on to say in verse 9, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Listen to this. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. He that gives seed to the sower. How many of you know God is the one that gives us the seed to sow? That's absolutely true. Now he that gives seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and get this, and multiply your seed that is sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What is he saying? He's saying that if God can get it through you, he will get it to you. If God knows, if you ain't sowing anything, you don't need any seed. Can you say amen? Amen? If you're not sowing anything, you don't need seed. But if you start sowing and you start becoming obedient to the word of God and you start giving and you start being faithful with what God's given you, what God's blessed you with, amen, and just start giving to the Lord. It's an act of faith. It's a step of faith. Do you think for one moment that when I sit down to make out my tithing check every week, the devil don't jump on my shoulder and go, you know, you might need another pair of boots. You got some bills to pay. You got other things. You might want to go to Best Buy and get a new tablet and all kinds on and on and on. He'll give me all kinds of reasons that I can't be faithful to God. But bless God, it's an act of faith. Write my check and give unto the Lord, and God just keeps giving back to me. So that I, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. That's what God wants for us. Let me ask you a question this morning. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Amen. Do you think that it is an act of faith to give to God? It is. It is an exercise of our faith when we give to God. What we are doing when we are giving to the Lord is saying, I could use that. Yep, I could use that. But I want to bless the Lord. And Lord, here is my gift. Here is my offering. I want to bless you. And God says, you will not be able to outgive me, because you give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, good measure, shaken together and running over, will men give unto your bosom. You'll never outgive God. I'm here to tell you this morning, put it into practice in your life. Don't just hear it. Put it into practice in your life and watch what God does. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now. Test me. God said, you can try me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. If I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon your life that you are not even able to receive it. You want your faith to grow? Bless the Lord with what belongs to him. It builds our faith. It builds our faith. Amen. Somebody, I don't like him preaching about money. Well, let me just tell you, the only people that have a problem with the preacher preaching about money is people that don't give. That's good preaching. You can evaluate your book or your faith by looking at your checkbook. I said, you can evaluate your faith by looking at your checkbook. If you are not giving to the Lord, you are not walking in faith, you are walking in fear. If you are not giving to the Lord and blessing the Lord, then you are walking in fear. I promise you this morning, evaluate, begin to give what belongs to God. Begin to exercise your faith. Amen. And I will tell you what will build your faith is when you give and you go, I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it because I did that. God will come along and do something that just blows your mind and go, wow, did you check that out? That's amazing. And your faith starts to grow. And your faith starts to increase. God tests our faith through difficulties. He tests our faith through obedience. And he tests our faith with dollars. The fourth way that God tests our faith is that God tests our faith through delays. Delays. Nobody likes to have the answer delayed. I want it, and I want it now. Because that's our society, right? That's the society that we live in. I want it, and I want it now. But I'm going to tell you something. God never promised to meet your need according to your timetable. I have always said he is never late, but he has missed many opportunities to be early. It's true. He has missed many opportunities to be early in my life, but that was according to my timetable. Let me just tell you something this morning. Sometimes God waits until the very last moment and it looks like it is about to slip away and all hope is lost. And then that's when God does something. Can you give me a biblical example? Yes, I can. God showed up in Genesis chapter 15. He told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. In fact, I want you to change your name from Abram, which meant exalted father, to Abraham, which means the father of many. I want you to change your name. I am going to make your children as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. And 24 years later, Abraham is still walking around going, I'm Abraham, the father of many. And I don't even have one. And then God showed up. Abraham is now old, and so is Sarah. Hello? And God says to Abraham, do you remember when I promised you I was going to give you a child? Well, next year, according to the time of life, that's going to happen. And Sarah went, ain't no way now. Daddy been dead for a long time. Hello? And God said, how come Sarah laughed? She said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what happened on a romantic night in the desert in a teepee. Sparks flew and Sarah and Abraham enjoyed life and Sarah conceived a son. 24 years after God had promised it to him. But you know what the Bible says about that 24-year period? The Bible said in the book of Romans that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Abraham didn't gulp. Abraham kept walking by faith. Abraham didn't give up. He didn't say, well, it's too late now, baby. Amen. I might as well forget about it. No, he kept believing God. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes you're going to have to hold on to God's hand and just keep right on believing in spite of what you see and in spite of the timetable. But I assure you that if you will stay faithful to God, God will bring it to pass. Amen. Just because it is delayed doesn't mean that it's not coming to pass. Just because, amen, we have to wait on the promise, or just because it is delayed does not mean that God has not heard us. And it does not mean that God is not concerned. And it don't mean that it ain't ever going to happen. Delays are not defeats. Delays are not denials. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? Sometimes we just have to keep our faith strong in the Lord and keep right on believing in spite of what we see. And when God brings it to pass, when God brings it to pass, our faith is increased. Our faith is increased. How many of you have ever had a situation in your life that you were in a hurry and it became obvious that God was not? I've been there. I've been there. My wife was there just about 6 months ago with this building. Come on, Jesus, we need a building. Come on, Lord, we need a building. She talked to me one evening and said, I want God to give us a building so bad. And I said, it's coming. Don't worry about it. God has a plan. God has a plan. Well, after 5 and a half, almost 6 years, here we are. God had a plan. But it didn't happen when she wanted it to happen. Didn't happen when I wanted it to happen. And this is just a stepping stone. This is not our permanent building. We're here to stay. Elevation Worship Center ain't going anywhere in the city of Emmett. We're here to stay. This is just a stepping stone. We're going to be here for a little while, and then God is going to do something more permanent. Oh, my. I didn't know I was going to feel that like that. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? Delays are not defeat. Sometimes God will delay the answer so that it looks absolutely impossible, and then he moves, and then he receives the glory for it. If Abraham and Sarah would have had a child right away, Abraham would have said, my, ain't I something? Right? But no, it was too far gone. And that's when God moved, and they had to admit it had to be the hand of God. It had to be the hand of God. The question that I want to ask you this morning is, if you want your faith increased and you want to live by faith and you want your faith to increase, then understand that that is a very dangerous prayer. That is a very dangerous prayer, because it's dangerous, because the way that God increases our faith is by testing our faith. So you want increased faith? Get ready for a test. It's dangerous because the way that God increases our faith is by holding us accountable to obedience. You want God to increase your faith? Then you just might as well buckle down. God's going to cause you to be obedient. He's going to require your obedience. It's dangerous because, amen, we want God to increase our faith, but God is going to require of us some generosity. It's a dangerous prayer because we want God to increase our faith, amen, but we're going to be required sometimes to wait for the answer. Which of those four areas in your life this morning do you need to step out in faith? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed, if you would. Four areas that God tests our faith. Maybe you need to pray this morning, God, I need you to increase my faith even through these difficult moments that are happening in my life. Maybe for some of you, that is the area that God is working in. You're going through hard trials. Understand that your setbacks and your circumstances are a launching pad for greater faith in your life. Maybe for some of you, God is testing you through your faith. Let me put it another way. Amen. What is it in your life that God has told you to do and you have not done it? It's time to do it. It's time to do it. It's time, not next week, not tomorrow, but right now. It's time to do it. Be obedient to God. Maybe God is testing you in your finances, and maybe you think that you can hardly make ends meet. I promise you, if you will just step out in faith and bless the Lord, God will bless you in return. I encourage you this morning, begin to give and start giving to God what belongs to Him, and exercise your faith and exercise your giving unto the Lord, and watch God supernaturally meet your needs. Maybe your test is a test of delay. What is it that you are expecting from the Lord and you're thinking, God, when? God, how long? God, now would be a good time. God, why hasn't it happened yet? Why haven't you answered my prayer? God declares this morning, don't give up, don't give in. Look up. Keep your faith in Him. Keep your hand in His hand. I don't know when your miracle will come. I don't know how your miracle will come. But what I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll continue to wait patiently on the Lord, God will see to it that you get the need in your life met. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, all the building. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for speaking to our spirit this morning. We thank you for giving us opportunity to hear how you test our faith and try our faith in the areas that you test us and try us, so that we may grow and increase in our faith. Let this word, I pray, Lord, be planted deep within the hearts of these, the hearers. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed. Would you be willing to slip up your hand today? And not to me, but to the Lord. Say, Lord, there have been some areas that have been brought out in this service this morning that I have not exercised my faith, but I'm going to start exercising my faith. And I'm just lifting my hand as a way to tell you, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Stand to your feet all over the building. If the Lord tarries and allows next week, I want to bring to you some things that we can do on our part that build our faith and enlarge our faith. We've heard what some of the things that God does. Now, next week, I want to share with you some of the things that we can do to build our faith and increase our faith. Bow your heads all over the building. I'm going to pray, being dismissed. Hands have been lifted all over the building saying, Lord, there are some areas that I'm going to begin to be more faithful in. Now, I'm going to exercise my faith in that area. Father, as we are dismissed this morning, I thank you for the hands that have been lifted. And Lord, I pray as they step out in faith, that little by little and level by level, that you will just cause an explosion of growth in their seed of faith, in their act of obedience, in their exercising of their faith. Let it be fruitful. Let them find gain and increase. In Jesus' name, let the word be planted deep in their spirit and deep in their heart. I ask it, Lord, for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus.